The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
What a fun UFC Unfiltered we have today. On the phone, we have Daniel Cormier fighting for the light heavyweight championship, defending Stipe Miocic, defending the heavyweight championship against Francis Ngannou this Saturday. And Brian Hayes, the creative director over at EA Sports, premiering EA UFC 3. So well said. Yeah. And a mattress ad.
Yes.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again. He's out.
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
I have a mouthful of almond.
Mouthful of almonds. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, Jimmy, I had an upset stomach. I feel better now.
Did you just go make a duty?
Can I give a warning to people out there for our listeners?
Sure.
They respect us. And
they do.
You know,
they respect you.
I want to look out for their stomachs. This is what happened last night. My wife picked up Chick-fil-A, and I was out at the academy yesterday. I go, you know what? I go, and I told you before how I love their spicy chicken sandwiches,
yes, you
Jimmy.
Did.
So I go, listen, I go, I've been running around all day. We were here yesterday.
Yes.
So it kind of threw me off my schedule a little bit. But so I didn't eat that great during the day, but I didn't eat all day. You know, besides when I was at Penn Station, I had a couple slices. So it was a horrible day of eating, but not a lot. You know, that was like two slices here. Then, you know, I'm getting
yesterday home. Was a loss with the eating.
listen, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. So I go, look, honey, two spicy chicken sandwiches because I'm starving. I was
hungry.
I was with my aunt. I was guys are training. They're taking ripping Camorras and legs. So I go, so I get home, whatever, around 9. But on the way home, my wife goes, yo, I had to eat one of your spicy chicken sandwiches because they didn't give me my sandwich. They messed up the order at the drive-thru. It's like that Joe Pesci line from Lethal Weapon fucking 8.
They always
remember,
they fuck you at the drive-thru. Leo Getz.
Yeah, Leo Getz. That was great. So that's what they did. So she had, listen, of course I'm going to give my wife my sandwich, but I'm not going to lie to you.
You didn't want to.
I was looking forward to two sandwiches.
Sure you were.
So this is what I do. Chick-fil-A's all the way in Guam. I can't go there.
How far is that?
It's in Hicksville. I was in Leavitt. It's the other way. On the way home, and I know I sound like a fatty people, but listen.
You're hungry.
I'm going to tell you my story. There's a Wendy's. So I go, look, you know what I'm going to do? And I always wanted to do this. I always wanted to do this. I just thought, and I go, my two favorite spicy chicken sandwiches. Mm. Let's do, like the Pepsi challenge. Let's do a taste test.
A side by side.
One after the other between the Wendy. I just went right through the thing. Is that all you want, sir? Just one sandwich. That's all I want. Yep. Don't tempt me with anything else.
I'm going to have a threesome.
I'm gonna exactly. So I get the spicy chicken sandwich. I go home. Whatever, you know. Between the Wendy's and the Chick-fil-A. You know who won? I'll tell you in a second. You know who lost? My ass lost.
Oh no! The toilet lost.
That's who lost.
Were you on
Jimmy.
The bowl? Last night
now,
too,
and this morning, and 5 minutes ago.
Oh no!
And this is the thing. But I am going with the Chick-fil-A. It's a better sandwich. It's a better sandwich.
I've heard it's very good.
Listen, it's a better, Jimmy, it's a better sandwich. I wouldn't lie to you about that.
I'm sure you wouldn't.
You know, but that's my story. That's why my stomach, because I know we're going to talk to the champ, Daniel Cormier.
Yeah, I'm gonna call these.
Yes, two champs today.
Two champs, right?
Stipe Miocic. I've been telling you that's how you say his name.
It's Miocic.
Miocic. I don't know. You know, Miocic. I have no idea.
Listen, I'm so excited for this freaking fight. I really am. You know, I got a jiu-jitsu tournament in Long Island, a Naga tournament. Naga, not going to work here anymore anyway. I'm going to that during the day on Saturday, sure, to coach some of my guys, just support my crew,
of course,
you know?
You're a good man.
Because a lot of times I can't make those tournaments because I'm, you know, I got three kids, two schools.
Yeah, you're busy.
I'm a busy man, Jim. Certainly are. You, you know what I mean?
Yeah, joking around, having fun, laughs.
Laughs. A lot of love. But so then that night, it's going to be a day of just submissions and fighting, some family time. You know, my kids know I get excited for the fights, you know?
This is a good one. Co-main is great. The main is great.
But we're gonna talk after the picks and everything.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a tough picks.
But with Daniel, he's been in so many big fights, and even though Volkan is 15-1,
yeah, Cormier's 19-1.
Yeah, how is he getting excited? Is he getting excited for this guy?
Oh
the
yeah,
way he gets, you're like, hey, yeah,
because he's champion again. Don't forget he had that fight with Jones
again, but. How is he as excited for this guy as he is with all these other big fights with his, you know, with his nemesis, John Jones, and it was very, you know.
We got DC, we can ask him. Daniel, hello, sir.
What's up, boys? Hi, guys.
How
are
you doing?
What's going on, DC?
Matt was just asking a question.
Buddies.
Oh, man.
Matt, do you want to ask DC? Because that was a good question.
I was asking. I don't know why I'm asking Jimmy.
I know.
Asking Jimmy to kill time. But listen, champ, how are you, first of all? You doing all right?
I'm good, man. Yeah. I feel good. You know, it's Wednesday morning. I feel great. I have energy?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
I've been watching you on the embedded, man. It's so cute with your kids because your daughter looks around the same age as my kid. How old are your kids, if you don't mind me asking?
My daughter's 5 and my son's 6. He turned 7 in 3 weeks.
Oh, that's so cute, man. No, it's nice that you like to have them around during the week. Some people like that, and some fighters are not like that. I was not like that. I get like,
I love them
kind of dark.
I love them around, man. I love them, Matt, because hey, it's the motivation, right? That's the motivation. That's what you do it for. So when you see in the motivation every day, it's easier to go train and be prepared to do what you need to do.
Jimmy, I think he answered my question without me even asking the question. I was talking to Jimmy, and I was talking about Volkan, who's a stud, 15-1. He's putting people to sleep. But then I was asking him, I go, you know, DC, the champ, he's been involved with some really high-profile fights with everything, with the John Jones, the drama with that, and just big fights, man. And I'm like, what is the motivation? But I believe you just answered that.
Just to the family and competition, Matty. You know, I love to fight, man. I love to compete. You know, I love to test myself against other people. I love the opportunity to go out there and do what I do and prove, you know, like, let's go. I mean, you said you wanted to do this shit. Let's go do this shit. You know, it's me and you now, nobody else. Let's go. I love that.
And I really, I'm sorry, Jimmy. I don't think you don't get credit enough for how witty you are. Yeah. How soon did you retweet that? Volkan put up a thing where it was a picture of you and John Jones after the one fight, and then he's walking away. A similar picture of him walking away with somebody, but you threw it right back. It's great. Instead of letting it bother you, you threw it back up there and retweeted it. And how soon did you come up with what you said there and that response?
I just saw the picture. Once I saw the picture, I started to, I just was like, oh, this is actually pretty savage. Great job, Volkan. Great job. But he started this shit, right? So I was being nice to him at first.
Yeah.
And then he wants to go start putting pictures. Now, I'm just saying what I feel about him. I just say what I truly feel. Like, he's going to get his ass kicked and he's in over his head and,
good, Jimmy. No. You wanted to read that?
No, DC.
Why does his face look like it's about like melting? Why does his face look like it's melting? What the hell, Volkan? Why are your ears dropping down to your damn shoulders? What's wrong with you?
And DC, just to quote what you wrote, it was a great retweet. He thought he had you, and you wrote, "Savage post, Volkan Uzdemir. But since no one knows or follows you, which has got to hurt on some level. I'll send that out to the public. 3,000 likes for such a good post seems like a waste. Quick point, though. You're no John Jones, and I'm no Jimmy Manoa, and I'm a lot better than Kelly Amundsen. And then you wrote tap machine, hashtag bum, hashtag UFC 2. By the way, bum is a great thing. That's such a 1965 insult. It, calling someone a bum is awesome.
But in the fight game, it's brutal.
It's great.
Yes.
Or tap machine, right? That, I got that from my Russian friends. You know, like anytime they tap, they go, "You're a tap machine."
That's fucking great.
My Russian buddies, number one bullshit guy, tap machine. They have all these little like sayings. And I'm like, you know, Vulcan really did tap to a neck. He tapped to a neck crank.
Oh, fuck.
A guy named Kelly Amundsen. Imagine the savage beating I'm going to put on this dude on Saturday.
And DC, I wanted to ask you too, just because I do follow you on Twitter. And you and the Young Bucks, who I guess are wrestlers, you apologize for all the hate they got. What started that whole thing? So I didn't see it from the beginning.
So, a few weeks ago, Phil Baroni tweeted a video of a match that, I'm sorry, that they had done, and they had this sequence that was just crazy. It was a whole bunch of jumping and flipping, and I was like, man, this is not what I remember wrestling being. So then I said it was pathetic. And, well, I've got a platform. So a lot of people went at them, and then they defended themselves. And then some of their friends actually defended them. And it was just a whole bunch of that, right? Then yesterday, like you asking me about this now, I was asked about it Monday. And I commented about it a little bit. And then someone said I wasn't bad-mouthing them again, when in reality, I was just answering the question.
Sure.
And the guy came to his own defense. And so then we started arguing a little bit. And there was one tweet where he said something about, somebody said, I don't know what happened, but like him and I were arguing, and it said something about get a real job. And he said, the job that I make seven figures isn't considered a real job. I thought that was directed at me. So I was like, do you think I don't make seven figures? Well, he was responding, and I was like, well, all the stuff you guys usually use on fans doesn't work on me. But he actually was responding to a fan,
right,
and I jumped the gun.
Sure.
And then so my fans, because look, professional wrestling fans are great. They're very passionate,
yeah,
about their stars. But MMA people are the same way. And so when they started seeing that, they kind of attacked them. And this has happened on a number of occasions. This is how we were arguing, so they stood with me as the wrestlers were saying negative things to me. The MMA fans were saying negative things to this young man. And this young man said people said he wished he got cancer and they wished he would die. And I was like, you know, that's too far. I love that my fans have passion.
Sure.
I love that our fans are like, you want to fuck with our guys? We're going to get you. But it was just too much, and it should never have gotten to that point. That's why I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to stop this right now. Because sure. I also did threaten the guy. I don't know. Cutting weight and everything, you know, it's a bad week to really start an argument with a fighter. You
know, yes.
The guy. Like, what? Like, what am I doing? This poor guy.
You guys are a bit testy on weight cut week. It's understandable. You got a fight coming up, and you're not in the best mood. You can't eat what you want. Now, how do you feel also to Jones took a, and again, I know this is not concerning your fight with Uzdemir,
not
but.
It's fine, please.
Jones took the polygraph and did pass it. And there's a part of me that really wants him to not be guilty of this, just because I don't know why it bothers me so much. And how do you feel about that, him taking a polygraph, and Nowitzki's comments on it doesn't appear to be the type of thing you'd do if you were intentionally doping?
You know, our good friend Chuck Liddell said something yesterday. You know, when you say, hey, someone slipped something in my drink first time, okay, it's a little bit more to believe. Second time, it's a little bit harder to believe. Polygraph tests, I don't know if it really proves anything. Plus, look, I'm going to say this. If Ted Bundy can pass a polygraph test, Ted Bundy, this dude is killing everybody.
That is a good point.
He did,
yes.
He passed the polygraph test.
Well, that's because he killed the guy who was giving it.
He killed the guy. The guy's like, well, Ted, you just passed the test. Ted, like, gets up and shanks him in the fucking throat.
That's a good point. People can pass them. I guess what Chuck said is a good point, too.
I understand the champ's point. I mean, it's the track record. It's the problem.
If you believe it, I don't really care. But, I mean, man, you just cannot keep doing things wrong and expect people to be okay with anything. It's like, how do you expect USADA to say, and I hope he gets a shorter suspension? But how do you expect USADA to say, okay, we'll give you a year, when the first time you made a mistake, we gave you a year? We can't allow you to just keep making mistakes, because then what's the point?
Right.
I'll exactly. go make some freaking mistakes. I'll go make some mistakes.
Right. Now, how do you feel too, Uzdemir obviously has a one punch knockout power. You face guys like this before, though. Like you, I think, you know, you face guys. Everyone said, "Well, Rumble Johnson," and you took quite a few of his punches. And the only guy to put you down at all was a head kick with Jones's shin. So yeah. you could take a punch probably better than anybody in MMA. I don't think I can think of anybody who has a harder head than you do who can take a punch. But I'm saying that the one punch knockout power doesn't seem to have an effect on you when you fight.
You know. I got kicked in the face by Jones, I didn't even fall down. I didn't even fall down. Like, he kicked me and it hurt me, but I didn't even fall down. I took a shin right to the head, and I kind of started staggering, and I was like, oh, my God, where am I? Am I in San Jose, Anaheim? Did I freaking fly to Vegas? Like, I was lost. And then, see, this is a credit to Jones, too, because if I could have grabbed him and clinched him, I think I would have been able to survive. Or if I could have held him in some way, shape, or form, but that finishing sequence, it was a thing of beauty. I mean, I was starting to back up to try to gather myself. He didn't just start punching and going crazy. He kicked my leg and made me spin, right? What do you need? You ever try to hit a pinata after they spin you over and over and over again?
Right.
It just makes you more, like, discombobulated. I was lost. Like, once I spun and tried to back up, then I tripped. And then I was like, oh, my God. And then he jumped on me. I tried to grab half guard. Again, he could have just started throwing there. But he created space, made distance, gave me the illusion that I could get back to my feet. And when I turned to get up, that's when he started laying into me. That's his closing ability. Not everybody can do that. But it took him kicking me in the head and took him using all of his finishing skills to put me in a position where I couldn't defend myself. I'm not going to get knocked out with one punch.
Right.
It's going to take much more than that. But, again, credit to John Jones and his ability to finish a fight, to do all those things that led to me being so lost that I couldn't even defend myself.
And I'm not sure if we talked to DC since that or no. I don't know
if
we have.
I don't think so.
Because you were very, very emotional after that, which, again, is very understandable. Yeah. Was that just because of you were still, like you said, discombobulated, or were you really feeling, was the emotion very genuine, or was that more just because, again, you had just fought?
You know, they say that, when you get concussed, like knocked out like that, you are very, that can happen. But truth of the matter is, and I'll be honest with you guys, like, even if it wouldn't have mattered, because it did, the first time I lost to him, I was fine and I cried. When I lost in the NCAA finals, I cried. I lost in the Olympic semifinals. I cried. Olympic bronze medal match. Cried. Every time I lose, I cry. It's what I do. And it's because I put so much of myself into these things. Like, I give so much of me into these competitions that when it doesn't go the right way, it's very emotional. Like, I mean, I put a lot into this, man. I spend a lot of money on training camps. I'm going for my family for weeks. It's very emotional. I've never really gotten over that. Like, I've never gotten over, like, the emotion just kind of pouring out of me when it's done.
Now, yeah, you see, I can understand that. And I see, and other fighters, you know, they, because I know how it feels to lose in there. Forrest Griffin, he's similar in a way. He's broken down before inside the cage, and but he says that, you know, people, I heard him in interviews say, like, you know what, it's horrible right there, but people are feeling bad, like, afterwards, like, in the locker room. By the time I'm leaving the parking lot, like, he's back, he's over it, like, he had to just let that out, type of thing. Is that how it is for you, or are you back? Are you crying for days? Or I don't look at you like
I'm
a sissy. Believe me, I know how it is.
It takes forever for me. Like, the tears may stop, but, like, the losses stay with me. You know, I've said this, like, I have dreams and nightmares about losses I've had over the course of my life. I may just be the most competitive person around because they stay with me. Like, some nights I wake up thinking about the Olympic bronze medal match when I was wrestling against a guy who was a world champ, and I was beating him 2-0 in a 9-minute match with a minute and a half left, and gave up 3 points. And I wake up with freaking sweating, like, oh, my God, what happened? Like, how could I have done that? And I feel like that about the fight with Jones. I'm like, man, if he's throwing at me in the two fights, 10 freaking left head kicks, how did I miss that kick? How did, you know, it's like those things stay with me, you know? Like, I lost to Kale Sanderson in the NCAA Finals. I took him down. I went to let him go to try to take him down again, and I had a brain lapse. And he turned and grabbed me and threw me on the ground and reversed me. And I was like, how did I do that? Like, it's that type of stuff that stays with me all the time.
DC, when John kicked you, I think they said that they had been planning on that, or there was a thing that you were doing where you were dipping a little bit in that direction. Did you realize you were doing that, or is it something that they that just happened in the moment?
It's something that I've done a long time in my career, but, you know, it worked, so it made these guys kind of seem like geniuses. But the reality is, we fought 8 rounds, and he threw 10, 12 of those same head kicks, and I blocked them all.
Good
he
point.
Just got one off. You know, like, he got one off, and it was good because he got it up there fast. But he did a lot. He did a good job. He did a lot of body work early in the fight. So when I went body block, he actually went high. Credit to him. But he threw the kick 10, 15 times over the course of 2 fights, and I blocked them all. So, yes, I was doing that. But, you know, the one that needed to land, landed. I was pressuring him. I was moving into him. And honestly, he just threw the kick so fast and it landed in a great spot.
And Kane is back training with you?
Yes, he's back getting ready. He's working. Comes in and works out with me to help me get prepared for this fight, man. You know, I got a guy in Volkan Ozdemir that hits very hard, but I train with Velasquez every day to get better. And to have a guy like that, and I've got 2 sparring partners right now that are kickboxing world champions, Frank Munoz and Thiago Beowulf from Brazil. And if they were in kickboxing matches with Volkan Ozdemir, I'd probably favor them both times. So I'm seeing a level of kickboxing that he can bring to the octagon.
Now, speaking of seeing shit, now listen, I'm not a drama starter here. I'm not. DC, you know me. I'm a good guy. Yeah. But now, is it weird at all that your buddy Luke Rockhold is over in that other, they're training in the same room and maybe sweating together? I don't know if he's working together, but I know. Yeah, I mean, listen, does he ever give you a call and say, look, this motherfucker, he's going for this uppercut? No, anything? Come on, you can be honest with between me, just between me, you, and Jimmy, and all our listeners.
Yeah, we'll cut it out.
it is my thing, Matty. You know, this guy, I got a lot of TV obligations between fights. Kane had been hurt. So, of us three, Khabib's in Russia a lot of times. So, Luke didn't have anyone. I really actually applaud him for making the move down there, because it's bold, it's brave to get out of your comfort zone. Go and find a place that's a better situation for you for the time being. Would we love to have him home? Yes, we'd love to have him home. But he had to do what's best for him. Plus, people don't know Luke's situation personally in the Bay Area, but we do. So because I know everything about his life, I understand why he's in Florida. Seeing them together, it kind of sucks. You know, like seeing that they're doing their conditioning and cardio together, that's fine. I mean, it sucks a bit, but it's nothing that's ever going to change Luke and I's relationship. But no, I would never put him in that situation, because he's building a relationship with his coaches and his teammates over there. So, no, I would never want to put him in that kind of situation where it would cause dissension amongst him and his new teammates and friends. And also, you know, he's still got to come back to San Jose and train too. You know, it's not like he's never going to train at AKA. He's just working down there right now, which is great.
And what were your thoughts on Khabib had such an amazing win over Barboza? And now we're hearing the rumors now that apparently it was announced in Boston that he and Ferguson are fighting in Brooklyn, possibly in April.
Is that right?
That's what I've heard, yeah. So how are you feeling about that? And Khabib just looks unbeatable. No one's unbeatable, but he looks as unbeatable as you can look.
He's good, man. He, you know, watching those scores on that fight card, 30-25, 30-24, 30-25. Last time I've seen a scorecard like that was another guy from the American Kickboxing Academy. It was Cain beat Junior Dos Santos the second time. 50-43, 50-43, and 50-44 in a title fight. And to me, he's just Kane reincarnated. He's nasty, man. And people aren't even seeing the true finished product of Khabib Nurmagomedov. This dude is still developing. He's still developing at 29 years old. And look at how he just dominates these dudes. He made Edson Barbosa look like he was just in over his head and out of his league. And there's really no one to beat him at 155. Tony Ferguson's a stud. Tony Ferguson is an absolute stud. But if Kevin Lee can have, and no disrespect to Kevin Lee, because it's a different type of fight style, but Kevin Lee had a lot of success against Tony. Khabib would do that, and it would continue to roll. And if Chad Mendez can take Conor down and control him for almost two rounds, man, imagine being stuck under Khabib like that.
You know, Matt did make the same good point you just made about Ferguson and Kevin Lee and what Khabib would do if he could do that. So that, and by the way, I saw a fun interview you did with Khabib where he wanted to know the questions and you wouldn't tell him. I kind of like your integrity as an interviewer.
No. You can't give it to him. You can't give it to him. It has to be real.
Now, you guys are good together. I like your relationship. You're funny. I like it.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
You're a great color guy and a great announcer. Is there a point where, like, you know, you've been fighting for a long time and training is so brutal. Is there a point where you go, like, what am I doing? Like, I know you love to compete, but you're so good on the other side of it. Is there a point where you're like, hey, I know I got this nice gig. Like Dominic Cruz, I got this great thing to kind of step into. You can wear a suit and fly first class and not get kicked. I mean, that's got to be tempting.
You know, I just have always known when I would be done with this, right? So I started when I was about to turn 31. And I knew I'd be done by 40. So if that's the case, I can work for another year.
Yeah,
I enjoy it. I love it. I can work for a year. That TV stuff's going to be there forever. So it is fun. Like right now, I would be here. I would be in Boston. But instead of working out or talking at Ultimate Media Day, I'd be on the other side with the microphone like, hey, can I get some stuff for UFC tonight? And also eating all day long. Right now, I'm sorry. But you know, so yeah, it's tempting, but I love to compete. I've always had a goal in knowing that the end date was going to be 40 years old, and as I approach that, I know that I have a good hard year left in me.
Good, good. And what do you think, before we let you go, DC, the main event a lot of people are talking about, Stipe is the underdog against Ngannou. And again, you look at a guy like Ngannou, who I don't know how well he could take a couple of rounds of Stipe battering him, but we've all seen what he can do with one punch, and it reminds me of Anthony Johnson in kind of that way. But you prove that there is somebody who can take an Anthony Johnson punch. So what do you think about that, the main event?
It's a great fight. You know, I think we've kind of, because of all the power and the toughness that Francis has shown, people fall in love with that. People fall in love with that ability to finish a fight with a knockout, and it's so fun, and it's so exciting. But the reality is, you're looking at a guy, Stipe Miocic, that's done the same thing.
Yep.
He's knocked out four guys in a row himself, and all world champions. He knocked out Verdum to win the belt, knocked out Overeem to defend the belt, knocked out Junior Dos Santos to defend the belt, and also beat the brakes out of Mark Hunt in the process before, too. So both of these guys are very powerful guys. Look, I don't generally go and watch fights after my fight is done, if I'm not fighting in the main event.
Right.
But I'm telling you, on this one, I'm definitely going. I'm telling Dana, save me a seat next to the octagon. I'm coming to sit right next to you so that I can watch these two dudes go to war.
When you fight a guy who everyone, I mean, there is just something base and human about, like you just said, knock a guy who can knock you out, raw power. There is something people just love about that. When you're preparing for a guy like that, like you did against Anthony Johnson, what do you, and again, like you have to against a guy like Uzdemir, who people are just talking about the raw punching power. I mean, that's not nearly as uncomfortable for you guys as it is for us watching. Your strategy has got to be just to, I guess, you know, close the distance, keep up against the fence. I mean, what is exactly your idea of what Stipe would do to prevent that from landing on him?
You know, I actually think that the plan is to get close. You know, get close, clinch, but you got to change levels. You got to be on his legs, I believe, because Overeem was in the clinch with Francis, and Francis just moved him around like he had no ability getting him in there. So I don't know if you could just clinch Francis
right
in an upper body situation and just hold him. You got to maybe get on his legs and start to try to trick him into getting lost. You know, you got to trick him with takedown defense. You got to switch up your takedowns. Try to make him do things that he has to register in his mind before he actually defends it. In the striking, he can do that. But in the clinch, 50-50, he's strong enough to hold you there.
Yeah.
But when you're playing on his legs, right, you're moving him around, holding his leg, snapping his head down, doing all this other stuff, he has to think, where do my hands go here to defend this? Because 4 years ago, Francis hadn't wrestled. He wanted to become a boxer. So he's got to really trick him into trying to get him onto the ground.
Yep. Okay. Thanks, DC. Listen, good luck. We love you. You're one of my favorite fighters and people in MMA. So I hope you. I'm pulling for you in this co-main event here against Volkan Oezdemir. And thanks for coming on. You're always so great with us.
All our best, champ.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Appreciate
all right.
it.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
All right, DC.
Yep.
Champ.
How does anybody not like Cormier? Like, I don't. There's people that don't like him. How does anybody not like that guy?
It's ridiculous. He's one of the best.
I think at the time people just liked Jones.
That's okay to pick Jones or like Jones.
I just
Jones,
think it was like, you know, Coke or Pepsi type of thing.
What? Maybe.
Like you like, no, I don't like these. Yeah, I like Jones. That's what they would be like.
Support for UFC Unfiltered comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They understand that home plays a big role in your life and family. That's why they created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. It's convenient. Our trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. And in addition to getting a real mortgage approval in minutes, you can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you're getting the right solution for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/unfiltered. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 33. After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph in a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
Hey, you know what, guys? We have Brian Hayes, who's the creative director
this.
For UFC 3, calling right now.
He made this video game?
He's the creative director. Yeah, he's on the phone right now.
Yep, this is me.
Okay, buddy, how are you?
Not too bad. How are you doing?
Doing very good. Now, Matt got the game. I don't have a thing to play it on. I actually got the game last night. It came a little bit late. Did you get the game, Matt?
I received it, but I am yet to play it, unfortunately. I just got it yesterday when I got home late. But, hey, I am a gamer, buddy. I really am, and I'm excited to play it.
That's good.
Now, very important, because our listeners want to know, am I in the game?
You are featured in the game, but you're not featured as a fighter.
That's fine. I'm not fighting anymore anyway.
What is he featured as?
So there's a sequence in career mode where the sort of looking for a fight series comes into play early in your career. And then so since Matt features heavily on that program, he shows up in the game.
So if I want to go home today and find me as soon as possible, don't get me wrong, I'm down for the gameplay. I can't wait. But I want to find me on that thing and make sure you guys didn't make me too digitally like fat. This thing, you know, so I want to make sure I want to see what I look like on this damn thing, and I want to see that. So if I want to do it, I go to career mode,
yep,
and that's it, and then next thing you know, I'll pop up somewhere.
Yeah, give me. So you can go to career mode, you can create a fighter that looks like anything you want, very robust creative fighter tools in there, or you can pick an existing UFC fighter and kind of restart their career from scratch, and then you'll start off in the minor leagues, and once you've had a few fights there, they're looking for a fight opportunity comes up. So,
well, how long did it take you to develop this game from start to finish?
I mean, to a certain extent, it's taken us, you know, the full... 6 years ever since we signed the deal with the UFC, because like we're always building on the work we've done previously kind of thing. But this game in particular, you know, UFC 2 came out 21 months before UFC 3. So generally, you know, basically about 21 months. That doesn't mean that we had the full team for that entire duration.
Sure.
Very often members from our development team go to help out like FIFA for a little bit or NHL for a little bit or NBA for a little bit while we sort of circle the wagons and get our concept straight for the next version of UFC. But yeah, it's been 21 months in between releases of the UFC game.
Now, compared to UFC number 2, what is the difference now? Is there any major differences? First of all, you already said some with the career mode. You have to looking for a fight showing up. That alone is a reason to get this new one.
Matt Sarah right. being in the game is reason enough.
Yes. But is there any other thing with, like, I don't know, the controls or any other differences that guys should be looking forward to?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I would say the differences in gameplay, and there are some control differences as well that sort of go hand in hand with some of the new animation technology we've implemented for the game this year. But the entire stand-up striking gameplay experience in UFC 3 is completely different from either of its predecessors. It's way far more authentic, far more engaging, far more exciting than either of the previous two. It does, you know, if you're an experienced UFC 2 player or UFC 1 player and you're used to those things and you're really good at it and you have a lot of muscle memory from playing those games, there might be a bit of a, you know, a learning curve as you get adjusted to the way the new game works. But to this point, everything we've heard is that once people get the hang of it, they're pretty blown away by the depth of the striking strategy that's coming out in UFC 3. But yeah, essentially all the work we did on UFC 1 and UFC 2 developing the striking stand-up gameplay, we tossed it all in the trash and we built it from scratch on UFC 3 wow. with a new gameplay animation technology that we call Real Player Motion Tech. So yeah, like 5,000 new stand-up striking locomotion, you know, animations in the game. Did all new mocap with over a dozen, you know, UFC fighters. So yeah, I mean, the biggest difference this game this year for sure is the stand up fighting experience. It's completely different from any game that's come before it.
And the other aspects of the fighting, the takedowns and the jiu-jitsu. I am a jiu-jitsu man, and I like some arm locks and triangles and whatnot in my UFC video games. So could you tell me anything about that? Is it similar to the previous games?
It is similar. We didn't overhaul that the same way that we overhauled the striking experience, but with our existing grappling gameplay controls and submission mini game that we had from UFC 1 and UFC 2, we've tweaked that. We've added some new positions, some, you know, new transitions on the ground, positions against the cage, a lot of animation content that we've added to beef up the grappling, the entire sort of grappling systems in the game. We've also done some tuning to the submission mini game and the way that works. And we're also, one of the big focuses for us, because not everybody out there is as adept and knowledgeable about, you know, the ground game and grappling and appreciates everything there. So we really focus on trying to improve some of the in-game tutorials so that when the fight does go to the ground, people won't feel like they're so much of a fish out of water sort of thing.
And it comes out February 2nd is the release date. This is UFC 3, which is people are just saying the graphics are amazing. It's being compared to Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Accurate?
I mean, for its time, sure, yeah.
Isn't it amazing, though, how far it has come? Like, when you think of that and, like, what it is now. It literally, there have been times I've been tricked online where they'll, like, have a fight set up, and it's, like, some weird fight, you know, John Jones versus Mighty Mouse. I'm like, when did they fight? And I'm like, oh, you asshole. It's a video game. It's amazing to me how realistic these guys look.
Yeah, I mean, we do spend a lot of time, obviously, just getting the graphics, the rendering, the lighting, and then the animation this year is really the big thing that I think pushes it a notch further. The way the locomotion looks and the way the combinations sort of flow, it's a completely different sort of ball game compared to what UFC 2 looked like. So that those instances where you have to do a double take to determine whether or not what you're looking at is a real fight or a video game should be increased by just the quality of the way the fighters move inside the octagon this year.
Now, Brian, how much of a gamer are you? Because I see you're the creative director over at EA Sports. Were you a gamer first, or are you just, this is something you kind of fell into?
I mean, I was definitely a gamer first. Like, I think a lot of people from, you know, my generation, when I was a kid, that's when, like, the Atari, you know, 2600 dropped. So I've been playing everything from, you know, little squares, you know, bouncing another little square across the screen on a, you know, huge ass CRT television encased in wood to now, you know, high definition 4K TV screens and very deep, hyper realistic video games. So I've been playing games, my entire life. As far as, I mean, I career wise, I totally did stumble ass backwards into this sort of career. Started out as a tester. I've been a big combat sports fan and boxing fan all my life. And so, as a tester, I was just one of the guys, because I would go to this boxing class that they actually had at EA, and I was the only person that would show up. So me and the trainer there would spar. And then, so sometimes I'd be going back to my desk, like, with a bloody nose or like a big welt on my head. And so when they were looking for junior designers for the Fight Night game way back in the day, they were like, hey, why don't we get that guy that's always got the boxing gloves over his shoulder and is bleeding? He might know something about getting punched in the face. And I think I did. So, that's how I got started. I really did fortuitously stumble into this career, but it's been going absolutely – it's been a dream so far. So, yeah.
Brian, what is consistently the hardest thing to capture or make look realistic? Like, is there one thing – like me, when I would draw when I was a little kid, the one thing I could never draw was hands. I could never draw anything else either, but I sucked particularly more at hands. What is the hardest thing when you're trying to make a video game where it's realistic movement and realistic motion? What is the hardest thing to do?
That changes as video games advance, right? As they start to become more and more realistic, it starts to become the more subtle things, little nuanced details about – how a human being reacts to different things happening, you know, whether it's in the octagon, on the soccer field, on the football field, what have you. It used to be things like just creating the basic movements, making them look realistic, right? But now, you know, our locomotion, our striking, all that stuff looks, you know, weighty, responsive, very realistic. And now it's the things where, you know, where we really start to focus on these really minor details of like, okay, where is this fighter's eye? Like where's his focus of attention, you know, inside the octagon? Is he looking in the right place when he throws this strike? Is he making the right facial expression when, you know, his opponent is throwing a big, you know, like, is he wincing? Is he bracing for impact?
Right.
All those kinds of things, which are so subtle and take, a tremendous amount of attention to detail to get them right. These are things that, you know, big budget AAA, you know, movies these days are investing hundreds of millions of dollars in their CG to get those to be believable. Obviously we also have to worry about making a compelling interactive experience as well. So those are starting to be more and more of the things that are going to be harder and harder to nail. There's always going to be something. Once we solve one thing, the next thing will be the hardest thing to solve, and it's always changing as technology advances.
As we're talking to you, we are watching some in-game like graphics.
It's the trailer on the website.
It's staggering how good this is. Like it's like watching a real weigh-in, real press conference. The motion is like the slow motion is great. The fast motion feels like it's real fast motion. This is tremendous, man. I mean, really, really amazing.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you feel that way.
Really great. Is Francis Ngannou in this game?
Yes, yes.
Can you mix and match weight classes?
To a certain degree. So you can't go as far as having Mighty Mouse fight Francis.
Sure.
But there are, you know, you can have light heavyweights fight heavyweights and middleweights fight welterweights, that kind of stuff. But if they're within one or two divisions of each other, up or down, there's ways you can match people up. But, there's no going from one end of the spectrum all the way to the other.
Well, this, Brian, it's so good. It looks incredible. Unfortunately, I suck at video games, but I will try to play this.
I'm going
to
be playing it.
Matt will absolutely play it. But congratulations, man. Really, really well done. Just the trailer looks incredible.
Oh, thank you very much.
And it comes out on February the 2nd. They are obviously expecting to sell a lot. UFC 3 EA Sports presents. And thank you, Brian. Really, really great job, man. You should feel good about this.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Okay, buddy. You too. Take care. That's amazing to me, the facial expressions while they're fighting and the combinations being thrown and the motion of bodies.
Can I tell you? I mean, it has to do with this, Jimmy.
Sure.
It is, you know, Vita Belfort was pushing for a Legends League. And
yes.
I'm not pushing for that shit in real life, but can't you have a Legends League in the fucking video game?
I want to see Matt fight.
Oh.
How about an unfiltered stop-in when they do the press tour? That'd be fun.
How about a special, you get to open up characters like in other video games, and then Jimmy fights.
Oh, come on. No? I don't know. Chip.
No?
Fucking Chip. You know how many people would love to see me get my teeth kicked in?
I don't want to talk about Chip. Chip's got his own podcast. You can talk about him there. You know, I'm sorry, Jimmy.
Do you know how many people would be happy to see me getting kicked in the face?
Punch Chip right in his fucking face.
But by the way, the fun thing about the game, I was playing it last night because I got a copy of it. I played for like, you know, a half hour last night.
I got to talk to you about that too, but go ahead.
Okay.
I got a problem with that.
Why? What's all right. Well, anyway, I was going to say, so I was playing as Frankie Edgar versus Max Holloway. And it's the obviously you can play it if you don't know a ton about the sport. You can just pick it up and play it. But knowing how Frankie fights and like what I think his strategy would be against Max, it's unbelievable how that even plays into it, where you're going for takedowns and ground and pound. And you're kind of like pacing yourself. It's really it's kind of amazing how the game goes.
Jimmy, he played for a half an hour. Now I asked him. We texted back and forth yesterday. I told him I got the game, mm-hmm. but I can't play. I got to go to school. I got people training for real combat, Jimmy.
Right.
They need me. They need my motivation. You know, and I got some insight.
Yeah.
I talk to them, what to watch out for. But so I go, Chris the producer, I go, just let me know if you see me on there. Because, you know, he goes, I'll let you know, I think, whatever. You know, I didn't get nothing back. So I came in today, and then he goes, I played for only a half an hour. I didn't find. Did you really look? Did you really? If my friend was in a video game, I mean, we're not friends. We just work together then. Right? Is that what it is? If Chris the producer goes, look, I'm in the video game, I go, look, I'm going to fucking find
Chris
you.
Chris is in a video game. It's the Chris Hansen one. He's one of the guys that shows up for lemon cookies.
All right. Well, now, listen, you didn't want to find me.
You didn't
look hard.
I would have looked for you.
It's just a nice thing to do. You
yes.
know, I was going to say, did I look child? We could have talked about it. It would have been good.
No way you look child.
It would have been good for the, I think they, if they gave me a double chin on this thing.
No, they wouldn't.
I believe
they wouldn't dare.
They better fuck.
Is it okay? Is it okay if I just read just our, quick, just what we texted about?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Don't let me say.
It's not about replacing
I don't think I said anything weird.
I texted Matt at like 4 o'clock yesterday. I said, I just got the game. You should have it too. And he said, I got it. Can't try till later. If you do, please see if you find me in there in some kind of mode or for training or whatever. Yeah. Thanks, buddy. If not, I'll see later. That's what Matt said.
Well, I'm trying to be nice. I didn't see later. And what'd you write?
I just said, okay, cool. Yeah, I'll see. You know, great.
Wait. What'd you write?
I closed it.
Oh, you closed it. Okay, see. So, I mean, obviously, I said,
okay, awesome.
Later.
I'll see if I can find you in there later. Thanks.
Here's what happened. Yeah. Chris put Matt on the pay no mind list.
110%. And it's okay. Because we're talking about it anyway. You know what I mean? We could have talked. How did I look? Was I in? What was I talking about? Was it me? Was it my voice?
Yeah, it's fair to know.
Of course it is.
Of course it is.
But I want to know what's going on.
Well, wait, did you go in to like do something?
They took stuff from the, you know, they took pictures of me and stuff.
Sure.
Okay.
And I might have been bloated that day.
I doubt it.
You're a comedian, and that's not funny.
Sure, you look good.
I always think you're funny, but that's not funny.
I'm not even joking.
You're abusing your skinny power. You're fat shaming me.
I'm not fat shaming you. I hate my body right now.
You hate your body.
You're picky.
He gets up. He's like, not even a pinch, but like a half of a pinch. He's like, I'm so fat. You're like, listen, it has nothing to do with any kind of sexual stuff, but sometimes you're like a chick with that.
I'm like a chick with a lot of things. You see me biting a pillow. Speaking of which, you know, we got a couple of questions for all the I'm going to listen to a podcast to help me fall asleep, people. You struggling to get some shut eye? I'm a very bad sleeper. Is Ngannou not around to knock you out with an uppercut? That's how you want to go to sleep, with Francis Ngannou's left uppercut. If you answered yes to either or both, you're in luck. We have a great tip for how you can zonk out more easily.
I need to hear this.
Mattress Firm, America's neighborhood mattress store, lets your budget stretch further when you're looking for ways to improve your sleep. They are more than mattress experts. They get the whole package that helps you transform your mattress into a bed, from adjustable bases and sheets to headboards and bedroom decor. They got you covered literally and figuratively. Go to mattressfirm.com/podcast to see what deals are happening right now as I read this sentence to you. And I'm telling you, as a host of this show, I'm going to do that because I've needed a new mattress for a long, long time. I've had my mattress for 14 years.
Oh, really?
And it's been great. It's a pillow top, king, wonderful, but I need a new one.
14 years.
These guys even offer you a 120-night sleep trial to ensure perfection and a 120-night low-price guarantee so you know you paid the perfect price. Again, go to mattressfirm.com/podcast to learn how your sleep could be monumentally improved. And if you're still awake, we're going to restart the podcast now, assuming that's cool with you. Little joke at the end.
Mattress Firm.
I like that. I need a new mattress.
Yeah,
I really do. I made love on mine quite a few times, Matt.
You know what? You know what's nice about you being so skinny?
What?
Is that you don't leave an imprint of a little fat guy in your bed.
No, I certainly don't.
I did.
Sometimes I can sleep on those. What are the ones that sink in?
That's the one. I can't have that no more. I just got a new one.
Stupid magic firm. What's that foam? Fuck that stuff.
Tempur-Pedic.
I don't want to sink into my bed. It's probably all warm. Doesn't it get hot where you sink in?
Yes, that's what they say.
Fuck that.
And so now.
Just sweating
in
your own bed.
Sleeping
in putty.
I wish I heard a Mattress Firm. I wish we had them as a sponsor last week.
I'm going to.
I got a new bed.
I've needed a new bed for a long time. I have a bed skirt. I have a fucking teenage girl's bed. I need new bed decor. My bed blows.
Yeah, well.
Perfect. Yeah. Fits.
It's not only your bed that blows. Boo. Listen to me.
I got to go to the bathroom.
Do you?
Oh.
Bathroom break.
That was a wonderful tinkle. You know, but we're just talking about doing our picks.
Yes.
Now we have Stipe Miocic or Miocic calling in, or Miocic or Miocic. We've asked him before. We always fuck it up. We love Stipe. It's very, very hard for me to pick against Stipe because I like him as a person so much. I like him as a guy. He's like one of my favorite guys to interview. He's a really lovely guy. You know, and Ngannou, everyone knows. I've been a big fan of Ngannou. Since way back. I love him. I mean, I've loved him before he was popular. I love Ngannou.
Yeah.
Before it was cool to love him, you loved
him. Before it was cool of him.
Yes.
Before, when we all thought his name was Ngannou.
Right.
But it's kind of hard to pick against Stipe Miocic. It's very, very hard. Because something tells me, the fact that Stipe is the underdog, the fact that everyone's talking about Francis's power, the fact, it was almost like when Rumble fought DC. Everyone was talking about this knockout power. And what did Rumble do? He fucking smothered him. And threw him down. Now, again, Francis, I think impossible to smother. I don't think, if Overeem couldn't do it, Stipe may have a little more. What's the weight difference between these two? Because Overeem was outweighed by a lot.
I mean, Ngannou's listed as 250 and Stipe's listed at 240. I would assume that is probably pretty accurate for Stipe. I think Ngannou probably weighs more than
I already had to cut to get down to, what was it, 265?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's going to be hard to hold up. Stipe will have a speed advantage.
Are we making our pick right now?
I mean, we're just talking about it. I think Stipe can throw combinations.
Let's start with it.
I'm going to be crazy, and I'm going to pick Stipe for a second round knockout.
Wow.
Okay. And it's not to knock Ngannou. I love Francis Ngannou. But because everyone is looking at Ngannou going, he's going to knock Stipe out, there's something bothering me about that. And it's like, you can't look past Stipe Miocic. You can't.
No, and he could be. I mean, he will be the record holder for 3 defenses if he wins this fight.
Yeah, man, and he has been destroying people. Again, if Francis gets a hold of him, can Francis knock him out in the first? Absolutely.
Yeah.
If Francis lands an uppercut or lands a straight punch, he can. But something tells me he's going to have a harder time hitting Stipe.
You know, the champ, DC, made some good points, and he's saying everybody's talking about Francis putting people away. What about the champ?
Yes.
What about Stipe? He's been putting people away, too. And I believe, you know, and he's been putting away former champions. I mean, you know, I just feel that experience. I feel that Francis is going to look to just not, I don't think he's going to respect him enough. I think he's going to go in there feeling like a superhero, and he's going to look to put Stipe away, and I think Stipe's in a counter, and I say he's going to have Stipe by knockout first round.
You know, I don't know if he won't. Here's why I don't know if he won't respect him enough. He comes from, again, one thing about Francis' story is so interesting, being homeless and fighting his way up. Like, this guy comes from nothing and is fighting his way into this amazing world. Like, those guys are dangerous because they're very, very hungry, yeah, and they see every guy as a fucking obstacle to their dream and to their family's life. Yeah. Like, I don't know if he'll take Stipe lightly. Stipe is the champ. I think he'll respect him, but he may be in that thing where he doesn't think anybody can knock him out.
I'm not saying take him lightly, like not train properly.
Yeah.
I'm saying not respect his, like, believing in himself so much that he's going to go out there, try to impose his will, and try to take Stipe out, just like he did to Overeem. He went in there and fucking threw some hands and it landed.
Dude, when he had Overeem up against the cage, that was, you could see in Overeem's face, he was not, when I told you, when in the weigh-ins, when Francis put his arms up, it was such a weird thing to do to show how big he was, and Overeem looked uncomfortable, and I've never seen him look uncomfortable.
I wonder
ever.
If he does that. His nickname is the Predator, right?
Yeah.
You ever see the Predator in the movie when he puts his arms out, like when he's fighting Arnold? I don't know if he's doing it for that, but holy fuck.
Well, the reach
it
advantage.
Looked like a monster movie.
Does he have 2 inches reach over Stipe?
Puts his arms out.
Yeah,
he's got three. He's got, Francis has an 83-inch reach. Stipe is an 80-inch.
And Stipe had a reach advantage over most of the guys he has just fought. Am I correct? And that's a lot of research to do real quick. But over Mark Hunt, I believe he did. I think he did over JDS. I'm pretty sure he had a couple of inches against Verdum. Was it an inch or two over Fabricio Verdum?
I'm trying to look. Sorry, my computer's being...
That's okay. I should have asked you in advance for this. Right. But that does make a difference. When guys are throwing this hard and closing the distance, you know, if you can close the distance, you can get up, you know, it can be the difference between life and death, 1 inch. I think a 3-inch reach advantage is a big advantage for Francis.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, that's the thing. I mean, for my pick, I love Stipe. I get what you guys are saying completely. I think there is a way to beat Francis. Francis's power to me is just something that is very hard to deal with. I'm taking Francis with the first round knockout, because if it doesn't happen in the first round, then I think Stipe's really has the chance to win that fight. Yeah.
Well, I wonder what Stipe thinks of Chris the producer's
don't
pick.
Do that. Well, don't no, it's, do but that. But it's not a crazy pick.
Chris the producer?
I almost picked Francis too. But the thing is that Stipe is wrestling, and Stipe can take him to the ground. I don't think Stipe is dumb enough to just stand there and trade punches. I do think that he's going to, like Cormier said, he's going to try to switch levels. I do think he's going to try to grab his legs and take him down. I also think Stipe can kick. I think Stipe is going to come out and kick a little bit, which is good. Then again, what do I know? I thought that's what fucking Alistair was going to do,
right?
Was use that leg advantage, or maybe try to clinch and throw those knees. Or maybe he wanted to do that and just couldn't do it because Francis was so strong.
Right. Well, now Stipe has an advantage because we've seen Francis fight these higher level guys, and so he's getting a little bit of tape on him. He can kind of watch what Francis's tendencies are. It's not I don't think it's in any way impossible for Stipe to win. I just think Francis is going to win. But
hey, Jimmy,
what's up?
You know, if I seen Chris the producer out like at a bar or something, and he's like having a drink, and I know he's a newlywed. If he's with like a and there's another girl there or something, I wouldn't even look that way, because it could be a friend, it could be a cousin, it could
no one's business.
But yeah, that's called bro code.
Yeah.
But I'm throwing him under the bus with fucking. This has nothing to do with anything.
What? Stipe's like the nicest guy, too.
He is the nicest guy, you fucking prick.
I know.
Fucking first count KO.
Verdum had a 77 inch reach, so Stipe did have a 3-inch reach.
I thought so. And how about Hunt? I'm sure a smaller guy. What about JDS? He's in that whole, 76 inch, maybe.
Do you know what I think of reach? Being a guy 5'6? Laid some people out.
Absolutely,
77 also for JDS.
Okay, but I think when a guy who hits as hard as Stipe does, or a guy who hits, and again, anyone can knock you out in a division, but guys who are hitting that hard, I think it's harder to take a couple of shots on your way in.
Yeah. By the way, Mark Hunt has a 74-inch reach, which is so crazy that fighting all these animals.
He's such a little bull, though. He literally just gets, because he can take a punch. I would love to see Ngannou Hunt. Well, that would be a fun fight to watch, even though I think Ngannou would beat him at this point, because, you know, Hunt's taken a few shots.
Right.
When you're trying to really hurt somebody, you put yourself out there to be hurt.
Yes, you do.
So he will try to hurt Stipe because so far you don't see Francis stepping backwards too much.
You understand? You don't. No, you don't.
Stipe, look what he is it me or did he knock out Werdum going backwards?
Going backwards, he did. Huh? But again, does Werdum have the... Again, we don't know what Francis's chin is like either.
This is a real test, right?
He has not been tested. His chin has not been tested by a guy like Stipe.
I think it's going to be. And Stipe, I feel, stays the course. He doesn't get carried away with being the heavyweight champ. You see him on Embedded working the snowblower?
Dude, he's too...
Oh, that guy don't care. He's funny, first of all. He's hanging up on his wife, him and his buddies. He's
If he wasn't, like, literally the baddest man on the planet, as everybody's saying, he's just an average guy.
He's your neighbor, Stipe. Yeah. Hey, there's Stipe. What's up, Stipe?
Yeah, but he's a big boy.
He's a down-to-earth dude. And he's going to come in chewing on that fucking mouthpiece.
Problem is, though, do you think the weight advantage is... It was a big advantage. I'd love to know what the Overeem Miocic was... Overeem Ngannou weight advantage was.
Listen.
Overeem probably... I don't know.
He came in fairly light, I think.
Overeem...
Or am I an idiot? Maybe he didn't come in fairly light. 234 to 260-something?
I think Overeem weighed more than that.
He might be right.
I remember...
I'll kiss you either way.
I'm remembering one fight... That Stipe had Stipe went out. Yes, with one fight.
Did he get knocked out? JDS was a decision, I think. Right. Stefan Struve in the second round, I think.
Yeah.
How long ago was that? And
that's got to be 4 years ago.
Well, hey man, you got to get.
I'm looking.
4 years ago, Francis wasn't even training.
Yeah.
Fucking. So I mean, that experience, and he hasn't been stopped since.
Longer. It was 2012.
Come on, Jimmy. 2012. Let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck that means, Jimmy. I heard it somewhere.
No, you're not wrong. It's an old expression.
Is it?
Yes, it is. So
let's do some picks. All right. So I'm picking Stipe first round KO. He's doing
second round. Yeah, I'm doing second round Stipe knockout because I just think his experience and the fact is, he's fought guys who hit hard enough to knock you out immediately. I don't think Stipe has had a guy who is as ferocious or as fast as Stipe.
No.
And I do think Stipe will try to put him down on the ground.
Yeah, well, listen. I am a little biased, too, because Stipe's been
against him. But it's hard to pick against Ngannou for me, too, because I like him so much.
You love Francis.
I do.
I'm a big fan, too. And I'm a bigger fan every time I see the guy out there, and he seems so humble and happy to be where he's at. And
Chris, what are you taking? Is Stipe knocked out before he gets in the ring?
Just to answer your question from before, Francis weighed in at 262 against Overeem. Overeem weighed 247.
Okay, so 15 pounds. Okay.
Yeah, so I would think Stipe's, I'm just guessing, probably weighs a little bit less than Overeem would be.
Okay, about a 15-pound difference.
Yeah. Let's go ahead. Let's go through some stuff now. Come on.
Okay, so we all got our picks for the heavyweight division.
Yeah, I got to call Stipe in a minute, but we could pick another fight.
All right, let's do. Want to go back and just go down? DC?
Yeah, why don't we do DC?
DC versus Volkan?
Yeah.
I'm going by DC. I'm going to go by... interesting.
I'm going to take...
what are you picking?
I'm going to take Cormier because Cormier is just too smart, and I think Cormier will, again, avoid that big shot and keep him up against the fence the same way he did against Rumble and smother him. I think Cormier is wrestling.
Okay. How do you think? You think it's going to go the distance? Or?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it could. Has Usman gone the distance a lot? Like, he's knocked so many guys out so fucking quickly. His last two fights were 47 seconds total.
Yeah, he's had a few decisions. But yeah, his last... I mean, he's been in the octagon for like 2 minutes.
When's the last time Cormier had a submission?
He's tapped Rumble Johnson before the John Jones fight.
That's right.
Okay. Yes, but it's... Yeah, that's
Rumble retired right after that.
Yeah, but Rumble is kind of known for, first of all, being, you know... one of the hardest hitting, most brutal strikers there was in the UFC. But if shit doesn't go his way, he'll be like, all right, you got me. You know what I mean? Listen, he's not exactly Holly Holm fighting out of that fucking thing.
I say Cormier, third round submission.
I have the same thing.
I think DC third round submission.
You know what? I think this Volkan's training hard. He's training hard. He's going to try to fucking neck pinch him. No, I'm not kidding. He's going to, I believe it will go the distance. I believe he's going to, you know.
Wow, you do. Okay.
I think he's going to last.
Okay.
But I think DC's going to beat him.
Okay, DC by decision.
Yes.
There you go.
Calvin Cater, or is it Cater against Shane Burgos? I'm not as familiar with Calvin, so I'm going to go with Shane.
Okay.
I'm going with Shane also. I'm going to go Shane by decision.
Okay. Jim, what do you think?
I'm not wanting a night of
decision. Second round TKO.
Ooh.
Okay. I actually am taking Calvin Kattar. He's known as the Boston Finisher. That's his nickname. This is in Boston. I'm taking him by decision.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's the same thing you said about Michael Johnson in St. Louis. We saw what happened to him.
No, I had Darren Elkins. How dare you? You had Michael Johnson.
Who?
Jimmy did.
Jimmy did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did have Michael
Jimmy
Johnson. Yeah. Hometown boy. I thought you know.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Jimmy didn't fare that great with that.
All right. Why don't we? I'm gonna call Steve Bay, and then we have two more picks. But let me get Steve.
All right.
Phone here.
Yeah, before you do that, take my phone and just charge a little more. I gotta go. I gotta travel back to Strong Island.
Okay.
After this. And by the way, back to that DC phone call. Who was he arguing with? A wrestler? What the fuck were we talking about?
Oh, professional wrestler.
Oh,
you know,
who was
WWE.
The wrestler? Anybody we know?
I forget his name.
All right.
It's the Young Bucks, but he was talking to Phil Baroni also, who's gotten into doing pro wrestling.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh well, I thought he's friends with Phil Baroni. Whatever. I'll tell you, I don't really care.
Well, it's interesting. I'm just saying.
It's not. I not the fake wrestling.
John Vellante against Francis Barbarossa.
I'm going with Gian Vellante because that's my guy.
You have to.
You know, and I'm going to say by second round KO.
I'm going to go by decision.
Well, that's your prerogative.
Business.
It's your business. Second round KO. Vellante's going to find it. He's going to find that chin. Come on, Vellante. Make us proud. Vellante's such a good dude, man. What's he doing over there? Does he know we're on a show?
Yeah, he does.
I don't believe he's picking against Steve A.
Well, I understand too, man. I mean, it's hard to pick against Francis in this. He looks so fucking devastating. He looks better every fight. We have Stipe on the phone?
Yep.
Hey, buddy. It's Jim and Matt and Chris, the producer. How are you, buddy?
What up, champ?
Hey, guys. Hey, what's up?
We didn't wake you up, I hope.
No, you're good.
Oh, okay. Now, again, we've asked you this before, but we're idiots, so we're going to have to ask again, because now John Anik is us all fucked up. We've been saying Stipe Miocic. Now he's saying it's Miocic. Can you please just correct us?
Miocic.
Okay. John Anik, once again, right. Once again, we are idiots. How are you feeling going into this fight? This would be your third. Again, no one's ever defended the heavyweight title more than twice, I guess, because it's such a division of killers. So does that go into your thinking at all?
No, man, I'm just going to go do what I do. You know, I've done this countless times. I got a good opponent. He's tough. Comes in hard. But, you know, I have a great coach and teammates, and they'll be ready.
But does the extra hype behind Francis, does that motivate you even more?
No, I mean, it is what it is. I mean it's the new thing. You know, everyone's like, oh, I got to hit so hard, which is fine. You know, it's awesome, you know, but I hit hard, too.
Damn right you do, champ. And we were just talking to DC, and he was even saying, he's like, people are talking about Francis putting people away. But, you know, what about the respect for the champ? I mean, you're putting guys away, too. So why is it? Why is Francis getting all this hype? Is it just because, I mean, first of all, he is a monster, but is it the look of him too? And
yeah, maybe not. I don't know. You know, listen, he deserves it. You know, he's a tough guy. You know, he goes hard. But I don't really care if I don't get the hype behind me. I'm the champ. The original champ. I'm a state champ.
Hey, and Stipe, this is off topic, but I was watching the Embedded. And first of all, I think you're hysterical. You and your relationship with your wife is fucking funny. But also, those snowblowers, my wife was ordering one, and she screwed up. She tried to cancel the order. She got two of them now because the order went through. But anyway, are they hard to use? Because it looks like you were having a little trouble.
I got it now. I got the hang of it. The chute. I was having a hard time with the chute because my thumb kept getting jammed up. I got fat hands, you know, so I would move my hand a little bit because I got hand warmers on it, and I keep getting the shoot, and it shoots the other way.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure that thing out, man, because my lower back can't handle this shit anymore, you know? And I got old neighbors. Yeah. All right, let's get back to the fight.
Yeah, I mean, one there's obviously an advantage is you fought guys at a much higher level for a much longer period of time than he has. Do you think that he's been tested? I mean, Overeem was a big test for him, but do you think that Ngannou has been tested, battle tested, in order, you know, to deal with a guy like you?
You know, I don't know. Maybe not. We don't know. I mean, we'll find out Saturday, but I'm definitely going to test him. And listen, man, like I said, man, he's coming for the belt, but unfortunately, he's not going to get it. You know, as long as I'm here, no one's getting the belt.
Now, the one thing is, too, you had a 3-inch reach advantage over over, oh my God, Fabricio Werdum. And he has a 3-inch reach advantage over you. So does that go into your thinking at all? Like, you know, how do you close the distance on this guy?
No, not really. I mean, he doesn't really use his reach that well. You know, I mean, he doesn't, like, keep it short like a boxer does. You know, he's kind of squared up a little bit. So, I mean, it kind of nullifies that.
And when you looked at the Overeem fight, we had Overeem in. And, you know, Overeem is so good with his legs, and he's so good in the clinch with his knees. And he seemed like when he put Ngannou up against the cage, he was, I think, at that moment realized how strong this guy is. When you watched that fight, were you surprised at the strategy he took and kind of left himself open for that left hook? Or uppercut? Excuse me.
Yeah, definitely. I think so, too. I mean, you know, he just took himself out of the element and was trying to do something that, you know, wasn't there, and then he got caught.
Are you happy that our buddy, Gian Vellante's on the card with you? Does it make it week go a little easier with that guy around?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, he's still a diva, but yeah, it's still good.
And you... Okay,
good. No, I was just going to ask, because I know he's... I can relate a lot with Stipe, because he's a gamer like myself. Now, you're still playing Call of Duty? What are you playing lately?
Call of Duty, World War II.
Can I just tell you really quick, Stipe, that I got the virtual reality. It's called the Vive, HTC Vive. And you like Call of Duty. There's some games on there, Onward. There's another game, Standout. Dude, it is like that, but in virtual reality. If you're a gamer, you have to try that shit, man. Next time you're in Long Island, you're going to have to stop by my house and try that shit.
Yeah, what system?
It's Vive, V-I-V-E. And it's HTC.
Okay, check it out.
Yeah, Google, throw that shit in YouTube and check that thing out, but it's not going to do it justice until you try it. There was actually a clip of Khabib, you got to find this afterwards, playing the fucking Vive. So much fun, dude, because I know you're a gamer, dude, and you'd love it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'll definitely check it out after the fight.
And is it okay to ask you where you're at weight-wise at this point? Obviously, you're not cutting.
Yeah, I'm like 240, 245 in that area.
And what are you expecting to walk in at? Are you going to stay there? Are you going to go up a little bit?
Yeah. Nothing's going to change him. I'm always walking around that weight, even during camp or out of camp.
Okay, so I think against Overeem, he walked in at 262 to 247. So it would be about the same 15 to 17-pound difference. Does that matter to you at all?
No, it's all good, man. Like, you know, more muscle is not good for you.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so. I guess it gasses you a little bit if you don't use it right.
Exactly. I mean, I don't care. I mean, if some of those guys that are big, they don't use it, they'll lose it quick, and there's no oxygen for the muscles.
Steve, I noticed you look more and more comfortable walking today, and maybe it's just me, I don't know, but you're just chewing your mouthpiece, you're walking in, you've always looked pretty comfortable, but being the champ, putting the people away, defending your belt, is your confidence just must be at an all-time high right now. Is that fair to say?
Oh, it definitely is. You know, it's just, the reason is I'm the best coach in the world. You know, I just... We walk with a great game plan, and, you know, we execute it.
Does it annoy you that they have favored him? And, like, I think as the champ, you deserve more respect than that.
No, listen, I'm used to it. I've been underdog before many of times, actually, a lot of my fights, so it's nothing new to me.
It's not.
I'll tell you, I think it doesn't, at this point, where your head's at, does it matter who they put in front of you, or do you even give a shit?
I don't really care, honestly. I love what I do, and, you know, I'm going to go out there and have fun.
How has your life changed being the champ? I mean, you're the two-time champion. How has your life changed?
You know, I'm just a little busy. Like, you know, just more things to do, more tests. But, I mean, it is what it is. You know, I mean, I have a great wife and a great family at home, so nothing wrong with that. I don't mind it being busy.
So it hasn't changed that much, just a little bit more press and some more money?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what it is. It's busier. Yeah, that's all.
Well, you guys are the main event in Boston. Stipe, you are 17-2. And they rank you 7th on the UFC pound for pound. But I would put you higher than that. I wouldn't have GSP in that list anymore and a few other guys. But look, man, you know, we did our picks.
Oh, and listen, 2 out of 3 of us in this room are picking you, buddy. Me and Jimmy are picking you. Our producer, I can't speak for that fucking guy. Well, you got to come in here next time and have a talk with him.
But I love Ngannou, too. I'm a fan of Ngannou, but I really do think that your experience, I just think that you're not going to stand there and just let this guy hit you. I think that your experience is what's going to wind up winning this fight for you.
Fuck yeah.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for the support.
Of course, yes. And Chris, the producer, you can address him when you get here.
Yeah, sure, Chris.
Chris, what's your pick?
I'll punch him in the stomach, I assume.
That's a legit threat, because he's not saying I'll punch you in the face. I'm going to punch you in the stomach where there's no marks.
That's smart. Yeah, good luck, Stipe, man. I
listen, whatever happens in the fight happens, but you're a great champ and good luck on Saturday night, man.
Well, Pat, I'm not good enough. You won't pick me.
All right, you know what? I'll change my pick right now.
No,
you're like an Indian giver. You can't do that.
That's right.
Can't do fucking.
That's right.
All good, man. No worries.
Yeah, it's hard to root against Francis because of his story. But we've interviewed you and we've talked to you, so I dislike you more than I like most guys of the UFC, and I really do think you can win this fight. So I have you picked for a second round knockout. Mac has you picked first round knockout. But second round, first round, maybe a couple of guys showing some respect. Sometimes these fights where everybody is expecting all of a sudden an explosion, guys show each other a little bit of respect. And
that's why we're excited to watch.
Yes.
I can't wait. Yes. I'm excited. We're with you, Stipe.
Thanks, guys.
Good
I
luck, buddy. Good luck, buddy. We're huge fans, you know that, and we love you when you come on, and we love you when you fight. And I think people are looking past you, and that's a terrible mistake. So good luck on Saturday, okay?
Good luck, champ.
Yes, sir. Thanks, guys. You have a great day.
All right, buddy. You too.
Brother. Take care.
Yeah, Steve, I really didn't think that.
He's just he just will always seem just like a blue collar type dude.
Yeah.
You see him on the embedded. He's,
God damn it.
We had to throw your ass in there. The best is this guy.
I'll change my pick right now.
I'll change it.
If it was Mighty Mouse, he'd be like, hey, let me think about it.
Right?
Heavyweight champ wants to belt you in the stomach.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, Stipe couldn't be a nicer guy. It's like you're not rooting against him. You never know.
I almost picked
him.
You're not honestly
rooting against him, but you'll be thinking of your picks.
If I had never.
If Francis had him wobbled in the fucking round you picked, you're going to be like,
dude, if I hadn't interviewed Stipe and like him as much, I may have picked Ngannou too. Yeah. Maybe I'm betting with my heart, but I really do think he can win this fight.
I do too.
First round, I do see them staying away from each other a little bit, and a lot of these fights, the first round, they're feeling each other out. They know they got a 5-round championship fight. The biggest fight for Ngannou, this is probably the biggest fight for Stipe to date.
Yeah. That is the thing, right? I mean, this could wear on Ngannou. I mean, he could come out, burn himself out in the first round, and then it's Stipe's fight. You know?
There's also punches that you could take in the fucking fourth round that you're not taking in the first round.
Right.
Because you're not used to getting touched yet. You know what I mean? Like, you got to warm up to that. And with the way these guys throw, I don't know.
You don't see it going very long.
Hey, well, listen, it could. Hey, listen, I've been wrong many times.
How many fights have we seen go the distance that we think is going to be a first round knockout? And you're like, they're both standing there at the end. I'm like, I can't fucking believe this went the distance.
You like those Kane JDS fights that go four.
And I brought up the video games because I know he is a major. He loves that Call of Duty stuff, and I was right there with him until I found that virtual reality. Oh God, I love it so much. I want to show you the show. Look it up. It was on. I think it's on his Instagram. Of Habib playing, I believe it's Vive. I think he's playing Gorn. I'm not sure, which is a fighting type game in an arena because you see him throwing punches and shit. I saw it quick, but it is cool. Let me see. What are you looking at?
This is Instagram.
I don't see it.
Well, let's see. Hold on.
What the hell? Where was it him? Did I see him playing the fucking Vive?
I don't know.
Nah, it was the other day. You would have seen it already, I think.
All right, let me see.
Come on, man. This is exciting. I talk about this shit a lot. You know what I mean, Jimmy?
Yeah, you do. I mean, you're very passionate, Matt.
Well, Jimmy, let me tell you, I do enjoy a good video game. Well, especially it's just fun.
We don't
it's
do a lot
of fashion fun.
We don't do a lot of politics on this show because we don't really care, at least on this show.
Are you getting into politics?
No. I'm just saying adult film star Stormy Daniels is alleging she slept with President Trump. And I'm going to say, regardless of what you think of Trump, if that's true, that doesn't hurt my image of him. I'm not going to dislike president for fucking a porn star. I just wanted to say that for the record.
She's saying that she, listen.
I don't know if it's true.
All that stuff's weird. Look at JFK. They know he's a hero.
Dude, absolutely.
Guy was, look at him back in the day.
He's living
a life like me.
What happened?
I'm not finding it. Let me see.
Why can't you look for it?
Yeah, I looked for it.
Great, Chris, the producer.
I'm still shaking. Now Stipe's going to kill me.
Chris was very funny before. I've never seen anybody.
Mofo.
But I would have, too.
Well, I feel bad. You know what I mean?
Nah, you can't. You know, did you ever see When We Were Kings with Ali and Foreman? Ali's on stage, and he's going, who picks George to win? And he's going, B-man. You got him picked? You know you. And they're all laughing because he's calling them out at the Waldorf in their faces. A lot of them picked George, and Ali understood. Like, it is what it is. This guy's going to pick. It doesn't mean they like you more. If you're Steve Bamiatis, you can't think, why would anyone pick Ngannou?
I was a fighter, and I am a fighter.
You are a fighter.
Always a fighter.
That's right. Sometimes you fight the urge to kiss me.
That's not a fight.
And you lose.
What are you saying? All of a sudden you hear... Listen,
that was
but,
a kiss.
Now you threw me right.
No, you were a fighter.
I was. And when people would pick against me, it's weird. Some things I didn't care because, like, with the St. Pierre fight, I did not care because I kind of seen why they would think that because they didn't know what I was going to go in there with. But there's other times that I'm like, yo, fuck you.
Yeah.
You're picking me to go. You're not picking me to lose a fucking a game of hoops.
But it doesn't mean that they want you to lose.
No, but
like if you're picking a guy like, hey, I just think that this can, like Ngannou's punching power, most guys would understand. No, yeah, I understand why you pick him.
I get it. But when the fight's going, look at the first, what are you looking at?
It wasn't Khabib. It was Luke Rockhold who was playing the virtual reality.
That's.
There he is. Right? Is that what you were saying?
That is 100% what I was not seeing.
Oh, well, that's also.
It was him dancing.
Okay. What is he doing? He's got the Vive on, I think. That's the Vive.
Yeah.
He's going to go put his hand through that window. What's he playing?
I don't know.
Let me
see. That looks fun.
Let me see. That's.
And then he's got Robbie Lawler over there.
It was Robbie Lawler. Look at this guy.
Do you have to hold the controls?
Yeah, you hold the controls, but it's like you see two hands. It's like when you put it in front of your hand, you see hands.
That's crazy.
And you like squeeze it.
Oh, I guess they're doing. It looks like virtual rock climbing.
Oh wow,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, if you're a nerd, I'm exactly. Only kidding. No, you guys, glad I could
hit the gym for once.
Nah, I'm not into that. I'm into fucking. You know, I'm into some cool shit.
Yeah,
you know.
By the way, so I was calling Stipe when you guys were saying. So you have Volante by decision, Jim?
Oh, yeah, let's
right?
The, let's yes, get the I picks. Man.
And Matt, you took Volante by second round KO.
Fuck yeah, I did.
I also have Volante by second round KO.
That's okay.
And then we got Thomas Almeida versus Rob Font rounds out the main card of the pay per view.
I'm gonna go with Almeida.
I'm going with Almeida by knockout second round.
Okay.
Third round TKO. Thomas Almeida.
I have Almeida by third round KO.
I have TKO.
Okay. Well, whatever. KO, TKO. Okay. Cool. So we got our picks.
Well, listen, gentlemen. What's today? All right. I'm not gonna
Today's a fun day.
Week. I'm looking forward to the weekend. I am, Jimmy.
Oh, I'm just looking at some podcasts. Maybe you want to just check out some podcasts.
Why? He's showing me Chip Chipperson.
Hey, I'm going to head to St. Louis Friday. Sorry, Matt. I'm going to be in St. Louis Friday. Lawrence, Kansas on Saturday. And the following week, I'm doing Michigan. I got Warren, Michigan, the Andiamo Dinner Theater. And then I'm doing the Laugh Fest in Grand Rapids, Michigan on Saturday, the 27th.
You're going to be in St. Louis this weekend?
I missed
that's
it.
Great. Maybe you could watch the fights last weekend.
It's amazing how fucking I miss it by a week every time.
I'm cramping, Jimmy.
Where? No.
Oh, man.
Are you having your friend?
Fuck it. I'm going to be at Sarah BJJ in Long Island. That's what I do, Jimmy.
I know it is.
That's what I hang out. I show some, get out of bad positions, rip some arms off, you know, hang out with my guys. We talk. It's kind of like this. We
it's
talk
fun.
About movies. We sweat. Worked out this morning. And I wasn't going to work out this morning. I did some jiu-jitsu this morning with a couple of buddies. And I so did not want to. But when I got there and I did it.
You were happy.
Jimmy, I had to work off a fucking spicy chicken sandwich or two.
That's all right.
And I did, I think. Jimmy?
I made it. Okay.
All right, guys. Well, listen, this weekend, do a proper plug, please.
Yeah, this weekend, UFC 220, Cormier versus Ngannou.
Yeah, Cormier
versus Ngannou. Miocic versus Ngannou, Saturday, January 20th from Boston, Massachusetts. The pay-per-view starts at 10 p.m. Eastern. The Fight Pass prelims are on at 6:30, and the FS1 prelims are on at 8 p.m.
All right, listen, thank you very much to Stipe Miocic. Thank you to, of course, DC. And thank you. And what was the gentleman's name? Brian?
Brian Hayes. From
Brian EA Hayes from EA Sports. Thank you very much. And we'll see you in a couple days.
Bye, everybody.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.